This is DW News live from Berlin. Clashes between police and protesters break out in Belarus after state media say President Alexander Lukashenko is set to win another election by a landslide. Police deploy water cannon, tear gas and stun grenades in the heart of Minsk. Lebanon's government hangs in the balance after several ministers quit. Thousands of people have been taking to the streets near the parliament, calling on their leaders to step down. Protesters say negligence led to Tuesday's devastating explosion, which killed more than 150 people and injured thousands. A council of Afghan leaders agrees to free 400 Taliban prisoners, clearing the way for peace talks to begin. The Taliban made the release of the prisoners a condition for the talks. I'm Pablo Folielias. Welcome to the programme. We start in Belarus, where protesters and police have clashed after President Alexander Lukashenko emerged the likely winner of elections. Police used water cannon, tear gas and stun grenades on thousands of opposition supporters gathered in the centre of the capital, Minsk. The violence broke out after state media announced that Lukashenko had won around 80% of the vote. Lukashenko, seen here casting his vote, has held power since the 90s and is running for a sixth term. His challenger was Svetlana Tikhanovskaya, an English teacher who's the wife of a jailed presidential candidate. She's already questioned the validity of the result. Well, DW's Moscow correspondent Emily Sherwin sent us this update.
Following the initial results of the presidential elections, protesters took to the streets in several cities in Belarus. In the capital, Minsk, they marched through the city and they were clapping, honking car horns and facing off with the police. Alexander Lukashenko's victory, in some ways, didn't come as much of a surprise, especially considering the fact that international observers have never recognized an election under Lukashenko's rule as free and fair. But the opposition candidate Svetlana Tikhanovskaya has said that she doesn't recognize the results, and she told a press conference that I believe my eyes and I see that the majority is with us. After all, Svetlana Tikhanovskaya has had an unprecedented amount of support in the run-up to this election. Tens of thousands of people have taken to the streets in support of her at various rallies that she's held across the country. Now, Alexander Lukashenko has said that he isn't willing to give up the country. Official results have yet to be published in the coming days, but it looks likely that tensions in Belarus will continue.
World leaders have pledged more than 250 million euros in emergency aid for Lebanon following Tuesday's devastating explosion in the capital, Beirut. The city has been rocked by another day of unrest amid clashes between protesters and security forces. Several government ministers have stepped down in response to the growing anger. The demonstrators blamed the country's political elite for deep-rooted corruption and for negligence that ended in tragedy.
Another evening of anger in Beirut. Violent clashes with security forces as people protest for a second day. This unrest was set off by Tuesday's massive and devastating explosion. These protesters lay the blame directly on what they say are Lebanon's corrupt leaders. Sunday saw a number of government officials quit over the crisis. This is the point of no return. The people are hungry. The economy is collapsing. The economic, financial and monetary crisis is escalating. Our family, children, relatives and friends are homeless, consumed by grief, despair and frustration. Authorities have had little involvement with the clean-up so far. Instead, it's been left to volunteers to clear the debris. Lebanon was already struggling through a financial crisis when the explosion hit, making the recovery from this disaster that much harder. Have some compassion. We're hurt. We feel pain. We cannot stand this. People from Beirut, from Beqa, from the north, everybody is hungry. We're not just here protesting to take a picture and post it on Facebook. People are hungry. And when people get hungry, well, that's it. Lebanon faces huge challenges, debt, reconstruction costs, and the welfare of an entire nation under threat. For now, the unrest of the last few days looks set to carry on into a new week.
DW correspondent Basil Aridi sent us this update from Beirut.
It seems that Lebanon is heading in the next days into new political turmoil with the resignation of two ministers, the Minister of Information and the Minister of Environment. Four other ministers will announce their resignation by tomorrow, the Minister of Finance, Defense, Interior Affairs and Economy. The question now, will this government resist until Thursday to attend the parliamentary questioning sessions? The sources doubt it. On the other hand, the resignation of seven MPs and the announcement of the Prime Minister Hassan Diab that he will discuss with his cabinet early elections without coordinating such an announcement with his political and political allies put the cabinet and the parliament into the edge. Moreover, this government failed to do specific and urgent reforms, and the blast that took place at Beirut's harbor wasn't but the trigger that turned everything in this country upside down.
Well, the pledges of aid for Lebanon came after a donor conference attended by world leaders, but they've warned that no money will be made available without political and economic reforms.
Saying that Lebanon's future is at stake, French President Emmanuel Macron appealed for a unified international effort to help the country as he opened the emergency donor conference, in which other world leaders also participated. Together, we have to do everything we can so that violence and chaos do not win the day. And aid was arriving in Beirut from around the world. The United States Air Force loaded food and medicine destined for Lebanon onto planes at an airbase in Qatar. At the Vatican, Pope Francis called for unity in Lebanon and help from abroad during remarks in St. Peter's Square. I once again appeal for generous help from the international community. Morocco is also airlifting aid to the country, prompting Lebanese journalists in Beirut to express their gratitude. Thanks, Morocco, for the help. I thank all countries. All countries face crises, but they support us. The support is stronger than politics and interests. Russian rescue teams continued to search for survivors at the site of the blast in Beirut, though hope of finding any fades with each passing day.
Now to some of the other stories making news around the world. Gunmen in Niger have killed six French citizens along with their tour guide and a driver. The group had been visiting a wildlife park in the Kouré area, a popular tourist attraction known for its population of rare West African giraffes. A ship that ran aground off Mauritius last month, leaking tons of oil into the ocean, is cracking. More than 1,000 tons of fuel have seeped into the sea, polluting coral reefs, beaches and lagoons. Another 2,500 tons of fuel remain aboard. More than 40 people have been confirmed dead after a landslide at a tea plantation in the southern Indian state of Kerala. Nearly two dozen people are feared trapped. It happened after heavy rain hit the plantation in Idukki district in the early hours of Friday when workers were still sleeping. Well, the Afghan government has agreed to release 400 Taliban prisoners. The country's Grand Assembly approved the move, which was endorsed by President Ashraf Ghani. He wants to pave the way for peace talks with the insurgents to end the 19-year war.
Not everyone on the traditional Afghan council was ready to free the detained Taliban members. Many of the delegates have lost relatives in attacks or clashes. For them, the fact that the government is now going to release those responsible is hard to take. But in the end, a desire for peace prevailed. The Assembly's decision has removed the final obstacles to these negotiations. And God willing, we are on the verge of these talks. One of the goals was to bring about a ceasefire. And it's desperately needed. On Sunday, another attack in Kabul left people dead and some injured. The Taliban control or are contesting around 70% of the country. The insurgent group has agreed to start peace talks within days of the release of its detained members. Back in February, they committed to the United States that they would reduce the amount of violence. But observers believe the upcoming talks over the future of the country will not be easy. They have completely different political ideas on participation, civil liberties, freedom of speech, media pluralism, all that. So all sides are facing marathon negotiations. Nobody on the Grand Assembly is expecting a rapid result, but the decision at least paves the way for peace talks aimed at ending almost two decades of war.
Western Europe is baking in a heat wave, and to stay cool, people have been flocking to beaches this weekend. But authorities are worried they're sunbathing too close to each other. They've warned about a potential uptick in coronavirus cases as people let their guard down.
When temperatures are climbing past 35 degrees Celsius, there's nothing like a quick dip in the sea to cool down. But this is what many beaches in Western Europe looked like this weekend. Britain's southern coastline was packed with visitors. Many had been forced to abandon holidays abroad because of COVID-19 travel restrictions. But it seems like the risk of getting infected also exists closer to home.
We did arrive early enough so that we would get a decent space for ourselves. But as you can see how busy it's got, we're now having to cut the day short and leave early. People just aren't following the rules, they're just coming on top of you, and it's just too busy.
It's the same story across other parts of Europe. To control visitor numbers, the Belgian coastal city of Ostend introduced a reservation system for the busiest stretches of its beach. Authorities in Germany warned that some beaches and lakes would have to close if there were too many people. But how are they surviving the heat wave without a refreshing dip?
Drink plenty, stay in the shade. Normally, I'm someone who loves the sun, but that is a bit too much.
High temperatures are set to continue in the next couple of days. And it seems like a trip to the local ice cream vendor might be less of a risk than going to the beach.
Well, moving to sport now, where Atletico Madrid say two unnamed members of their travelling party for the Champions League quarterfinals in Portugal have tested positive for coronavirus. The Spanish club are due to play at Sporting Lisbon Stadium against Germany's RB Leipzig on Thursday and say they're in touch with authorities about further steps. The Champions League had previously been suspended for 4 months because of the pandemic. Mercedes have failed to win a Formula One race for the first time this season. Red Bull's Max Verstappen took the checkered flag at Britain's Silverstone, which was hosting a race for the second time this month.
Formula One's 70th anniversary Grand Prix was a creative name for the second Silverstone race in as many weekends. Organisers are limiting travel due to the coronavirus pandemic. Mercedes had won every race so far. Valtteri Bottas and teammate Lewis Hamilton both got away cleanly at the front. But behind them, Red Bull's Max Verstappen quickly moved past surprise third-place qualifier Nico Hülkenberg. Ferrari's Sebastian Vettel spun on another awful day for the German. Dutchman Verstappen managed to go in front of Bottas following a pit stop and promptly sped away. His tyre choices were looking superior on a hot day in Britain. Hamilton then overtook Bottas late on to move second and limit the damage as he eyes a record-equalling seventh title. But the victory was Verstappen's, ending a run of four straight wins for Mercedes so far in this coronavirus-affected season. Verstappen goes above Bottas into second in the overall standings, behind Hamilton.
This is DW News coming to you live from Berlin. You can keep up to date on our website, dw.com, and follow us on Twitter and Instagram. I'm Pablo Folio Elias. For me and the rest of the team, take care and see you soon.